and all to do the episode 46. It's been, I think, like 2 or 3 weeks since we last did one.
It's two. And it, because I, 2 weeks. I was going to arrange one last week, but I was utterly, like, wrecked from Eurogamer. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have a lot to cover today. There's been a decent amount of news, but really, you know, it's really been the kickoff of the fall gaming season. We've had Gears of War 3, we've had the Battlefield 3 beta come out, and then the Uncharted 3 Subway promotion is also available for lucky people in certain regions of the world.
You're going to have to go over that, because I have no idea what this is.
That's great, well, so I can play the part of the game that I don't care about. That's awesome.
So we'll start off with Uncharted stuff, since it's probably only me who's going to talk about it, and, you know, apparently Chad doesn't care for it. Naughty Dog, Sony, and Subway are all teaming up for this promotion where you get access to the multiplayer component of Uncharted 3 a month in advance, and
they're running a Sony beta again.
Well, I was going to say...
So they take the game, the one game they didn't do a Sony beta with, and they did a Sony beta with it, but...
No, there was a beta for Uncharted 3.
You know,
Oh, no, but this isn't a beta. This is where it gets kind of iffy, and this is why people are upset, is that everything you do during this month counts towards the final game.
It carries over
to the disc-based game. So, yeah, a lot of people are upset at the fact that people will have a month of progress before most of the world can actually buy the game.
Because there are going to be some people that hit max level in that time.
Yeah, and there's going to be people who unlock, you know, the weapons and the perks and stuff like that ahead of time. And from my experience, the Uncharted 3 matchmaking is really unbalanced, where you can end up, and I've had this happen, where I've ended up with a team with a bunch of, like, we'll have a bunch of, like, level 1s, maybe some 5s and 8s, and then on the other end will be, like, a 29, 26, 27... and stuff like that, where, you know, it's one of those games, again, where I think skill points are really arbitrary, because you get it for pretty much doing anything in the game. Like, you get, you know, you'll get skill points for dying 3 times in a row without killing
Gears
someone.
Gears 3 is really bad for that. You get points for being the first person to die in a round. That's
yeah,
not
Yeah, fuck Gears 3. Gears 3 is trash.
But we'll get to
I'm
Gears
3
in
Gears
a second.
Gears 3 is bad. I'm saying that it just rewards you for literally everything you do.
No, I'm the one that said it.
We'll get there in a second. But yeah, it was also one of my problems with Call of Duty, is that I really never had to improve my abilities in Call of Duty, because you just play certain modes, like domination, which is it where you basically get to control points, and you get like 50 points for every time you control a point.
That's domination.
Yeah. So, you know, you just kind of did those objective-based modes where you got more points for you could still kill, but you got more points for doing other things, where you didn't necessarily have to improve your gun game, but you can still rank up and unlock stuff. And I think, I understand why companies do this. It's, you know, it's kind of that RPG built in, oh, I'm going to fill up this bar, I'm going to get better, but it also doesn't always necessarily mean that your skill is improvement as you go along. And I think Halo 3 was kind of a mix of this, where you actually did. But if you didn't do so well at your skill level, they would also push you back so that you can help, you know, be more online with people of your own skill level. And that does make a bit more balanced game.
Yeah.
But the system was also kind of flawed, because you would have like 50 different ranks depending on the mode you played and stuff like that. So yeah, as I mentioned before, the Uncharted 3 had a beta earlier this year, and there has been some radical changes here, and for the most part, it seems like the changes were for the worse. I've had experiences where I've emptied like an entire clip of my gun into somebody, and they don't die, and it's just very frustrating. I don't remember offhand, because I've played a lot of games this year, but a lot of people are complaining that the sprint speed has been increased so much that it's very difficult to have a long game in this version, because by the time you start shooting somebody, they can like sprint out of the way and into cover before you can finish emptying the clip into their back.
Do you know if Uncharted 3 has built-in metric reporting? That's probably hard for you to tell, but some games it's obvious that they do have, like Halo has metric reporting all the time.
Because I have no idea, to be honest.
Because Epic did this, they built into it a lot of metric reporting into Gears 3, so they instead of Basically, instead of looking on the forums for suggestions, they looked at the raw data that the game was reporting back to them, and they could see how much damage everybody was doing on average per shot, and where they were dying on maps, and how they were dying and stuff. And it seems like
apparently Epic didn't get the memo, because you can charge like $25 a year for that now.
Well, no, it's not stat gaps. It's not
where. I know what you mean, but I'm just saying.
It sounds like based on that, based on what you've just said, that Naughty Dog didn't really do that. They just took a bunch of suggestions from the forum and go, oh, let's do this.
And this has always kind of been a problem, and it's something I've pointed out before as far as gaming goes, is that the internet kind of, you know, it's the most vocal group, but it tends to be the minority, and people tend to express things they have problems with more than they do things they love. So there were probably people who were content with the beta, and there's very, what are you going to say? Oh, you know, this is beta is fun. Yeah. But then you'll have like 50 other people, like, I don't like how the bullets feel. I don't feel like I'm running fast enough. And then they're like, oh, you know, then this must be a problem we must address. And that's the stuff that gets fixed, but a lot of people didn't have issues with it, but they never really addressed it because nobody ever really asks you for, what do you really love about this game? What's like the part you wouldn't want to change? Because you don't think of that stuff until it's gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we mentioned, and we might as well transition to it, Gears of War 3 has been out for 2 weeks now. And one of the things with the beta was a lot of people thought that the shotguns were kind of overpowered. I actually think that's been a criticism of the franchise as a whole.
I think they got it right in the final, at least.
Yeah, I haven't really played much of the online because I have Horde and I have Beast Mode, so my attention's kind of been focused on those two modes.
I see a lot less people charging around with the sawn-off shotgun this time around. What I see is people who use the sawn-off shotgun, they really know how to use it properly instead of just being able to use it at any point, which is basically how it was in the beta. And there's less people use their rifles a lot more, which is also a good thing.
Yeah, because it has a decent mid-range game now. Which is kind of, you know, what people wanted because, I think it was always a problem with Gears of War 1 and 2 is that the power weapons kind of were the thing. You don't have a purpose for your pistol. You didn't have a purpose for your assault rifle because by the time you down somebody, a teammate would be up there to pick them up or whatever. Other than that, what about the, you know, we haven't talked about it yet, so what did you folks think of, like, the campaign and Horde and Beast Mode and everything else?
The only thing that I don't like is the boss waves on Horde. I think it spawns way too many enemies than it needs to because you have the one giant enemy that you have to take out. And especially,
if it's only one.
And the, if it's only one. And especially when you get to wave 20, it becomes a point where you're spending 25 minutes just to kill a lambent berserker, and you've still got to worry about everything else. And the everything else is just you're trying to get out the way of a lambent berserker that's charging at you, and instead you like get a shot by a boomer or something and killed instantly. It's a bit silly. Other than that, I've got no complaints with anything in the rest of the game. One minor detail in the story.
As an addendum to that, I would also point out the I get why they do it, but I also don't like the fact that buy-in increases per every 10 rounds. Instead of like, if they're gonna do that, they should have it where like maybe it's $1,000 the first time, then 15. So you know, every time you die, you get penalized for it.
Because I'm spending all of my money on fortifications and nothing to buy it back in with, and
it becomes more and more expensive.
Yeah.
And usually, what happens, at least in my experience, is when you hit wave 10, 20, 30, 40, is that you spend all your money fortifying because you know it's a boss wave. But you also end up having to rebuild everything after that wave because those bosses usually damage almost everything.
Especially when you fail it because you have to still rebuild everything instead of it returning your fortifications back to the state that they were beforehand.
Yeah. So, yeah. Because I remember the first time I hit the boss wave, it was with two berserkers. And they aren't easy to kill. I didn't know.
The game doesn't even tell you how you take them out.
No, because you don't fight them in the game.
Exactly. For anyone listening, you have absolutely no chance against a berserker unless you use scorchers, because
You have to set them on fire to open some weak. Because I emptied an entire turret into one and it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then after that fact, I found out online that you have to set them on fire and that exposes their weakness and then you can kill them or whatever. But yeah, and I enjoy Beast Mode as well. The only thing I have with Beast Mode is I think it's way too short with just 12 rounds.
Yeah, it's a bit too easy because of the short, how short it is. But it's fun. There's nothing more fun in that game than like spending half of the waves going around as a mauler and smashing everything up. And then you have like all this money and then you can play as a berserker and you don't have to.
Yeah.
You just go smashing everything by running into it.
Yeah, berserkers are awesome. I mean, yes, you get limited vision, but at that point it really...
It doesn't matter, because you just run into something and it dies.
Yeah, pretty much one hit kill... Well, one hit knocks them down, another hit kills them. You can pretty much run through any barricades they set up. So yeah, it is real... I mean, I'm not going to say there isn't a challenge, because you have to unlock it, which is a nice system. But once you hit that final group, you're pretty much set.
Yeah.
Especially if you have four or five other human being berserkers. I do like that you get like, they get like the giant suits and stuff, which is kind of cool. But again, once you hit Berserker Cast, you're pretty much just wrecking stuff.
Tad, you're awfully quiet on the subject.
You shut up.
Well, do you not Gears like
is
it?
Stupid. I hate Gears. Gears is because, dumb.
How is your Xbox, by the way?
You can go to hell. That's where it is.
So yes, Chad is still Xboxer, so he hasn't had the experience with. I guess, and
with
you know,
his
being
favorite
that,
Microsoft game, I might add.
And you know, since I actually, you know, since Shad hasn't played it yet, and I know Jason and I think Adrian haven't beat it. We won't discuss the story and stuff until they come back
That's
and all on the show.
But Chad, seriously, when you get a chance to play it, you'll fucking love it.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
I will just say I hated the false emotion in this game.
I didn't think it was too bad. The whole train bit was a bit silly, gameplay-wise, but other than that, I wasn't... I like the fact that you could tell they hired a proper writer this time.
Which isn't still... And they had some colors this game around, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, yes.
There was one point in the game, I'm like, what, am I playing Uncharted now? It was weird.
I think I know what part you're talking about. But yeah, we won't get too much into details. And then finally, the big, big release, well, I guess release, I was in quotes. And I will just say that we'll most likely have another segment with this with Adrian later on, because he is pro Battlefield 3 and he's been doing the coverage. But I know from experience and hands-on that Daniel and I aren't fans of this game. So I didn't want it to be too slanderous on the game, because I'm sure there are people, I mean, okay.
I'm gonna sum it up in a sentence, right, and I'm not going to be too harsh, right? The game isn't fun, and the PC version is awkward as hell. And then that's all I'm going to say for now.
Okay. There's a lot to say about it and stuff, and I know this is going to, you know, I'm sure people are going to cause, you know, people get headaches when you say stuff like this, but at the end of the day, I'm just going to say that it doesn't usurp Call of Duty, making something a bit more, I don't know, making something a bit more tedious, not tedious, I guess, but more
grainy.
It's more of a chore, it seems.
Yeah.
Than it is in Call of Duty, and I know, you know, it's a different type of game, but at the end of the day, if you're trying to compete with something, making it a bit more difficult or harder to understand, like from my experience, and maybe I'm foolish for it, maybe, you know, maybe I haven't played enough Battlefield. I had no idea that Rush had a countdown. I thought it was a timer, an invisible timer.
Well, I really liked Bad Company 2, and I don't like Battlefield 3. And people are gonna say it's a different game. It's really not. Not really. They've added more inconveniences, as if Bad Company 2 wasn't inconvenient enough a lot of the time. And supposedly Caspian Border is 64 players on the PC, but I wouldn't know because EA shut me out of it and I was like, haha, you can't play this.
Well, apparently there's like some secret code you can get.
Well, they did. I know there was, but the problem with that was is the passwords for the servers that were running them, they worked, but the servers were A, always full, and the day after I found out the passwords, they got rid of all the Caspian Border servers completely.
Nice. So yes, and this is a discussion I've had before, and some people, are upset when I mention it, and I think Daniel feels the same way, is that technically speaking, at this point, this game, even though it's a beta, and it says it's a beta, and it's a public beta, and they're calling it a beta, it really serves as a demo for the game. For a lot of people, including myself, this is like my first experience with the Battlefield.
DICE have admitted that they're not going to change anything, and that it's an old build, and that there's been a bunch of PR mess-ups regarding it. And it's so close to the release to the point where you may as well count it as the final product. There are some things that are obviously bugs and are obviously going to be patched out, but other than that.
Yeah, and I'm not looking forward to the day one patch, but yeah, I do treat this as a demo because, one, the game is out in 3 weeks. It's not like the game has 2 months left on the shelf.
The gap was between, like, the similar gap between Gears 3's beta and its release, then I'd probably forgive it a lot more, but it's not. It's 3 weeks, which is nothing.
Yeah,
they're probably already making the disc as we speak.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not like these things are, it's not like they print the disc October 24th and the game's in stores October 25th. I assume, if anything, this is probably the week the game goes gold or whatever. So, and I understand why people do it, and I understand it is called the beta, but it drives me up the wall when people use that as a defense of the game.
You can't, apparently you can't criticize it at all because it's got the beta stamp.
Which is why they're calling it a beta in the first place.
Which I think is backwards to begin with, because the entire point of a beta is for you to criticize the game so that they fix these problems in the final version. To say, oh, you know, it's not a problem, it's a beta, doesn't help. It's like sweeping the problem under the rug and saying, you know, we'll get to it when we get to it. No, if it is a beta and you have a problem with it, you're supposed to be vocal about it. Granted, you might not want to take to Twitter stuff, talk to Battlefield, talk to EA, talk to DICE and make sure they know it. But the point is that if you have a problem with it, if you think like you die really quick, like 4 shots and you know.
It's not even that. And sometimes I've spawned at deployment and died instantly. And on the PC version, where you can't change your video settings unless you have spawned, that's inconvenient because when you die, it pulls you out of the options menu and shows you the respawn menu instead.
Yeah, I've had a lot of technical glitches, and again, I'm sure they'll be fixed. I've had, times where I lost all sound. I've had times where my screen tinted blue the entire time, which is kind of weird. I've had times where I've had flashing lights on my screen for like 5 minutes. And it's not like, you know, like they do make, like, when you
have points. That's a feature. Did you not know that? If somebody points a torch or a laser at your face, you can't.
No, not that. I'm talking about, like, actually just, I hated that. I honestly hate that aspect. Like,
yeah, I hate it. The suppression as well. Like, somebody can be shooting at you, completely miss, and then the game seems to think that they're suppressing you, and it blurs up the screen.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But no, I know it makes a sound when like your base is being captured or whatever. But no, this was just like random. Nothing's being captured. Nothing's going on. And the screen's just like, it's like a flickering effect where like it's just.
And
it's like,
it changes color as well, which is weird. Sometimes it's green for me and sometimes it's blue and then it'll get.
Yeah, I've had the blue, which really, really makes it awkward because it's a really yellow-colored game as it is. And that's another thing I had issues with is like there are too many dark corridors. Like, I know the second part of the map, there was a game, for example, where, like, some dude was just in the prone position picking us off because there's only 2 ways to go down, and he just had a line of sight through that one hole, so when people came down, he shot them as they came down. And you can't see him because he's down the other end of the subway train, and it's completely dark. So fine, you know, we had to go around and do, but this is after a few people died because you had to figure out that he's down there. And stuff like that. And I will say the maps are huge, but the maps are huge in the fact that you only play as on part of them at a time.
Yeah.
So it's like 4 different maps you get instead of like 1 really big map. And again, I'm assuming it might be different in the final version. I honestly personally won't be there to find out, but,
I'm not. I've got to thank DICE for saving me £40.
So yeah, and like I said, I'll be back later on with Adrian, and he'll offer up another opinion. I hope, because he's a Battlefield person. He knows.
Yeah.
Personally speaking, this is my first experience with the French. Well, not kind of 1943.
Well, 1943 was a bit different anyway. It was more arcadey because the Infinite Ammo
and it was kind of fun.
Yeah, the only one I've really played is Bad Company and Bad Company 2, and I really like those, but Yeah. Not for their multiplayer, which I feel like is most of what Battlefield 3 is all about. So.
Battlefield 2 had no single player at all. It was the multiplayer with boss. So
I think Bad Company was the one that introduced the single player aspect of the franchise. So yeah. And, you know, the single player could be phenomenal, but at the end of the day, games like this and Call of Duty really do sell on their multiplayer, and this isn't the greatest first impression, at least to me, for a game of this nature. So yeah, I think that's it for our what you've been playing. If you folks have anything else to add?
Frozen Synapse, right? It's a turn-based strategy game. It's awesome. I'm going to be quick about this. It's a turn-based strategy game that's awesome. It's kind of like Advance Wars, but with a cool cyberpunk setting. And if you go to humblebundle.com, it's pay as you want. Pay what you want. So go get it. It's fucking awesome.
I do have the Humble Bundle. Humble Bundle thing that Steam does. And I also like that they, you know, they do kind of have a set price, and that if you pay...
Well, it's recommended, and then you get more games if you pay the recommended price later on, which is nice. But yeah, Frozen Synapse is awesome. I'm not even a strategy fan, and I fucking love it.
I'm gonna have to check that out. I didn't know it was a turn-based game.
And it'll run on pretty much any computer.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about it, but I just never really got around to checking it out myself.
It's cool. And you get the soundtrack for free. Even better.
Okay. So, yeah, that should be it for what we've been playing. We also have, 2 weeks of news to catch up on. But honestly, there hasn't really been that oh-my-gosh-worthy news, so we'll just run through this fairly quickly, I think. First up, we have the Gong Hyo Fade trailer. I don't know if either of you've seen this. It was this trailer Sony debuted about a week and a half ago. That's kind of ominous. It just has elements to various Sony franchises and stuff like that, but it's like a live-action show, Soldier Troya. And I believe it's supposed to be revealed what it is this week. I think it's like October 5th. Anybody?
Hang on, let me have a look at this.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. So, while Tony looks at it, we'll move on. New trailer for Rayman Origins, which is a fantastic-looking video game. It's probably the best.
I saw it at Eurogamer, and it looked really cool and really fun to play, actually. I was surprised. I'm actually definitely interested in picking that up when it comes out now, after...
Yeah. The problem is that it comes out at a time where it's just it comes out in the middle of November.
Yeah.
I think it comes out the week between Modern Warfare 3 and New Super Mario Bros. And 3D or whatever. So it's kind of, you know, jumbled in that. And that week in itself is insane. So yeah, it is that. And if you buy it, I don't know if... I think it's just a pre-order. If you pre-order at GameStop, you get Beyond Good and Evil HD for free. So
that's not a bad deal, actually.
No, that's not.
That's pretty good.
But you'd have to go to GameStop, so...
Long Live Play Trailer is a bit ominous.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't really tell you much, so...
What?
So people are either suggesting it is Sony's marketing campaign for the year or some type of Sony-branded crossover experience. Who knows? That worked out so well with Sony PlayStation Move Heroes. Square Enix announced or believes that Final Fantasy XIV has damaged the Final Fantasy name. Apparently they haven't played the last three games.
Well... Yeah, I wouldn't say 14 did, because I don't know anyone who's a Final Fantasy fan that played 14 at all.
Well, to be fair,
plan to get it, because it's an MMO, it's not their thing. And
I was just to say, it's also the fact that it came out on PC was so bad that they haven't released it on consoles in like a year.
Well,
it's still not out on consoles?
No, it's not. They were going to redo the PC version first.
Well, it needs redoing, so...
Yeah, I have to hand it to Square Enix, though. They have been brutally honest about Final Fantasy XIV, and they have said, you know, it was a mistake. You know, we did this wrong, we did that wrong. You know, you can still play it for nothing if you still want to play it. So I
gotta say, that's interesting in the fact that, you know, because Final Fantasy everyone was kind of had mixed reactions. I think some of the people who did enjoy it do enjoy it, though. And 14 came out. And then they go around and they make Dragon Quest an MMO as well.
Yeah.
What?
You would think after, the first two, they'd be like, you know what, maybe people don't want our games as MMO form.
Or maybe we can't do MMOs very well.
Well, I was going to say, and the other thing is, and this happened, there was two announcements that actually brought this, is that DC Universe Online and City of Heroes are both going free to play this month.
I'm not surprised.
And yeah, and at the end of the day, I think at some point people are going to have to realize that pay-to-play models don't work if your name isn't Valve, if your name isn't WoW.
Yeah.
Or
I was just saying, because even Valve have gone free-to-play.
Or if you are an Xbox Live, and the only reason Xbox Live works is because you're paying for a service and not for a game.
Yeah.
And even then, people criticize paying for Xbox Live.
Oh, I've
but there's no alternative.
By November.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I said there's no alternative. And I think, you know, it's just going to be one of those things where it's really hard. They're going to have to find a new model for their MMO or something that isn't pay to play because it doesn't work. No game has really been able to sustain it for too long. I think EVE Online still does it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we've gotten to a time where people can't just throw away money anymore, and they've got to. And MMOs have always been that sort of thing where, I don't know about you, but if I'm paying £10 a month, I feel obliged to play it instead of just to play it whenever I want to.
And I think that.
You know, I can't justify paying £10 a month when 1 month I may just go completely off the game. I just can't predict that will happen.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, and you know, this might, you know, it depends because you're paying for it, is I was thinking if they had like an Animal Crossing system where they kind of like, oh, you haven't played this game for a while, and yada, yada, yada. Instead of like, you know, like you can miss an MMO for like 5 months, come back and really don't feel like you've missed anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, if that's the case, I mean, granted, you're still getting 5 months worth of pay, so it's not a big deal if you're the company. But if that's the case, you know, the gamer's just not going to be interested in returning to this world if you're not giving them a reason to return. I mean, personally speaking, that was one of the reasons I went to my Animal Crossing village so often, is that I always felt bad whenever the villagers came up and were telling me that they missed me or I haven't been around for a while, or that my village got grass and roaches growing everywhere. So yeah, if they had some type of system like that where you kind of were motivated to go there.
A bit more persistence than is actually there. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably, you know, probably not the best comparison, but there's a reason Farmville remains popular, is that something happens.
Because there's a lot of persistence. The game is built around persistence. Yeah.
So, there you go. And yes, we just made a Farmville reference, so sue me. We had an announcement of a Dead Island movie and a Mortal Kombat movie this past week.
I don't think the Dead Island movie is just a straight-up Dead Island movie. I think they just took that initial trailer and they're taking inspiration for it. And by all means, that's a good thing, because we could probably use a lot more emotion in generic zombie movies.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people were kind of criticizing it, but honestly, from what I've heard of the game, it sounds like taking the concept of the trailer makes more sense than doing anything based off of the game.
Yeah, because the game is basically just Fallout Left 4 Dead. So,
and with that, more bugs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that.
More bugs than Fallout,
But Left 4 Dead for sure. So yeah, and Mortal Kombat is being done by the guy who did the web series, I believe.
Yes. Good.
And that was interesting, so I'm curious. I enjoyed the first Mortal Kombat movie. I hate the second one. So, in my book, it's one for
perhaps
one.
Perhaps we get a genuinely interesting, sort of semi-serious Mortal Kombat movie.
Well, they said realistic and mature or something like that, and somebody was upset about that. Of the video game franchises, I can see Mortal Kombat benefiting from being a bit more realistic. I mean, it has supernatural elements, but at the end of the day, it is a fighting game, so it does have that element of realism. It's not like these people aren't humans for the most part. They may be ninjas and stuff, but they are still humans, especially if you focus on like the core cast from like the first game. So it is that. And sorry if I seem to be rushing through these.
That's right.
It's just that Chad's on a timeline and he's got like 15 minutes. What else is there? Zelda Four Swords was released for the 3DS without online play. Thank you, Nintendo.
I was excited about that until I realized it was not Four Swords Adventure.
Four Swords Adventure.
Are you criticizing because it has no online play?
Yeah, it's a game built around co-op, and
Does it not have inter-system ad hoc play then?
You can download Fairy. I'm assuming somebody can do a workaround, but since the 3DS isn't hacked yet, I assume it's a pain in the ass at the point moment.
So it is ad hoc, or is it not?
It's not, as far as I know.
So what? There's no kind of multiplayer at all?
No, there's multiplayer. There's, like I said, you can do it like if you have four 3DSs.
That's ad hoc.
That's ad hoc.
Oh, okay. What is? Okay. So yes, it has that.
So okay. I was gonna say, like,
that'd be stupid having four swords with no ad hoc.
Well, it has a single fairy component now. I don't know if you've ever played the original, but the original had no single fairy component, so you couldn't play it. Just another Game Boy. You had another Game Boy. I played it out for a bit.
Wait,
Is
this be limited time or is it free forever?
I don't know. As of right now, it's. I think it's free for until it's free, but I don't know if it's going to be on the service forever.
Because it'd be nice if, like, I get a 3DS at Christmas time, maybe, and I could still download it.
Probably. I think that would be good. I don't know. I don't want to make any promises. I will say that I am okay with this. I know a lot of people are upset with Nintendo and all these free games. I'm perfectly fine with this one. It's a free game to celebrate a 25-year-old franchise.
I suppose if it's free and it's to celebrate Zelda's 25th, then all right, but... It's still
I can't
games.
See anyone having a problem with it. It's like, it's a free game.
And you
that you're
problem.
Giving.
And you
their work.
No, I can't really openly criticize it. I can't. It's just not a new game, and I would like to see new games.
Well, I mean, that's the point, is that it's a celebration of the franchise, and as we'll get to in the next note, there is a new game in this franchise coming out in 2 months. So it's not like they were just relying on, they did this, they did Link's Awakening, they did Ocarina of Time remake, they have the CD, they have the music concert. They're already going all out for the Zelda 25th anniversary, and as much as I like it, I'm really disappointed that they half-assed the Mario one.
Yeah, and the Mario.
They half-assed the Mario one. What about that other anniversary that's this year?
Oh, what? We don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Oh, we're pretty sure Zelda's the only game that's having an anniversary this year.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, according to Nintendo. So they half-assed the Mario one, and they completely ignored the Metroid one.
Can't wait to see what they do for the Pokemon one.
Well, actually, I think Pokemon's 15 this year, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, they're going all out. Genetically engineered, real-life Pokemon. It's going to be sick.
I wouldn't say no.
Pokemon's
20th, awesome.
20th anniversary will finally be that console MMO game that everybody's been craving in addition to that, like I mentioned before, Skyward Sword had several new trailers hands-on. Nintendo's pretty much started their hype cycle for this game now, so...
What's the only Wii game?
Well, it's the only big one.
Yeah.
They have Kirby, and they have Rhythm, Rhythm Heaven, and they have that, it's a good, that Street one, whatever, with Dragon Quest characters.
Rhythm Heaven's a Nintendo game?
Rhythm Heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to give Nintendo a whole lot more credit. I didn't know that. Well done, Nintendo.
I think a lot of people kind of... I don't want to say, they skip over most of their other games because it's easier than saying, it's easier to just say they rely on Mario and Zelda.
Because it's not a rehash, basically.
Yeah. I also realize it's a handheld franchise, even though they're coming out with a Wii version. It's easier to just kind of say, ignore the handheld output, but yeah. So, there's that. But Skyward Sword, and it's a pain in the ass if you're a fan and you follow this, but I do like how they kind of center their marketing push towards like one time instead of spreading it out over like 5 years. I mean, it's not like they haven't showed off Zelda at all, but it's kind of like now we're gearing up for Zelda and this is going to be our focus for the next 2 months. So you'll have, they do it and they're really anal about it from what I understand. It's like they've had hands on. I think the press had hands on like the first 10 hours. They're able to talk about like the first 2 hours this week and maybe the next 2 hours next week and then 2 hours, the week after that and stuff like that.
That's
so
really weird.
It's Nintendo. You're a fan of one of yours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they used to. I remember when Smash Brothers came out, they were talking about how.
Oh, that was great.
You couldn't mention the fact that Sonic was in the game.
Even though it was already announced, yeah.
Even though it was announced and in choice, it was one of the things you couldn't talk about was the fact that Sonic the Hedgehog was in the game. And I'm just like, you have got to be kidding me. But again, Nintendo always seems to be a really anal company that likes to control their stuff. So yeah, Skyward Sword looks fantastic, and I can't wait for that to come out. Gears of War 3 sold 3 million in its first week.
Is anyone surprised?
I am honestly surprised that this was a news story.
Yeah, it's like,
well, it always is. Anytime any game sells more than, like,
five
an average number of copies, that's always a news story.
First-party titles that non-Kinect sell a lot on the 360. A lot.
That's not necessarily
true. Reach managed to get 3.3 million in a day.
Because I don't think Fable broke a million in
I don't really count Fable. I don't think it's a franchise that's worth mentioning at all. That's why. The less said about Fable, the better.
Well,
the first
two were good, to be fair.
I didn't like the second one. The first one was brilliant, and the second one was just.
It's actually kind of funny because of the it's Microsoft franchises that does this because I mean maybe they don't brag about it as much. Nintendo franchise, you never hear about Super Mario Galaxy coming out and selling like 5 million in its first week or whatever. But they end up having their own sales.
Nintendo aren't really a company for sales numbers anyway. Unless it's E3, and they're like, we've sold a bajillion more Wiis.
Well, the only time they tend to do it is like when it's hardware related, like they'll say like, you know, I remember the DS, I think sold like a million units during 1 week in Thanksgiving, like 2009. They'll say stuff like that, but it's either that or when it hits a milestone.
Yeah.
But yeah, they don't really seem to be the type who's like, oh yeah, you know, like.
Look how many games we sold this week, guys.
I think, top five best-selling games of this generation, but you wouldn't know it because Call of Duty usually is the one that gets all the press. So yeah. And it's also, and this reminded me of something, is that Nelson had a survey out this week, and surprise, surprise, the most anticipated game of 2011 is Modern Warfare 3.
What?
And I just sat there
madness.
Like, oh, wow.
Another one of those shooters that does nothing more than the last one.
Well, not even that, but Call of Duty has been the most anticipated game for the last 3 years. Why would that change now?
I'm really hoping that this is sort of the height of its popularity, so we can hear about Call of Duty less.
Well, I can tell you one
but
thing.
But it's not going to be. It's not going
to be. It's not going to be dethroned by Battlefield 3.
I'm not talking about it being dethroned. I hope it's the height of its popularity every year. So
honestly, I thought last year was the height of its popularity. We'll see. And finally, Portal 2 announced DLC.
It's coming out on Wednesday. And I cannot wait. And it sounds really cool.
Yes, and it's co-op and single player, and it's free on everything, which is the best news to get.
Me and my friend are gonna fucking hit the co-op as soon as we download it.
Okay, and I think that does it for the news. Now we're short on time, so we'll probably get to like two of these. But I also wanted to try something new this week, and I had some people submit us questions, and figured I'd throw them out and see what you folks' responses were.
All right.
To them. This one comes from, and I'm going to butcher a bunch of people's names, so Nimroth from Twitter, and he says, these days the main focus are first-person shooters. Well, he says first-person shooters, but whatever. In the future of gaming, what genres are you hoping gain similar popularity, appreciation, and what genres can you guys think of that's innovative enough to carry the future of gaming?
Hard questions. I don't know. I couldn't really answer the first question because I'm a primary FPS person. So, I don't know. I couldn't answer that. What was the other question?
What genres do you think are innovative enough to carry the future? What's going to be the next big breakout genre, you think?
Ooh. I don't know. It's hard to tell because it can change, like, across the spectrum in an instant, because I remember, oh, I don't remember this, but remember, back in the, like, the '90s, we had a lot of strategy games on PC.
We had a lot
of strategy games on PC, and on the consoles, there were a ton of platformers. So,
yeah.
It really depends on the audience. I couldn't really tell you either answers to either question.
Okay. What about you, Chad?
I don't know, that's tricky. You want to ask me the question again?
In the future of gaming, what genres are you hoping gain similar popularity appreciations to the first-person shooter, and what genres can you think of that are innovative enough to carry the future of gaming?
Innovative enough to carry the future? Well, right now, I don't know that there's a ton really innovating. I think any genre really can. I mean, we could see,
I think,
who knows, like first-person shooters.
I think the
innovation is going
to come in hybrids.
Yes, that's what's going to be my answer, is that we're going to see more of a...
Because
we're going to see,
you can totally level up in your shooter thing that we've been seeing.
Well, we're going to see...
Or stuff like Borderlands, which is kind of like a first-person shooter meets RPG, meets co-op experience, on stuff like that. Obrero, which was kind of like an RPG racer, and stuff like that. And I see a lot of games where it's going to be...
I think that's where the innovation is going to go as well,
going forward, personally speaking, I hope we get to a point where gaming kind of opens up to the point where it's no longer just like one dominant genre, where it's healthy enough that you can have, you can have a ton of platforms, you can have a ton of first-person shooters, you can have a ton of third-person shooters, you can have racers, fighters, and all this other stuff, and they're given equal cross, not just in, reception, but also in coverage, because nowadays you do kind of see the press tends to focus on those big AAA titles, and by proxy, that means most of the focus on this industry is on first-person shooters, because they're the genre that's kind of the most pronounced at the moment. But, and then, you've seen it the same way where music games kind of always got pushed to the back. Motion games, sports competitions, and stuff like that always kind of got pushed to the back because it wasn't Halo, it wasn't Call of Duty, it wasn't Resistance, it wasn't Killzone, it wasn't Gears of War, it wasn't Uncharted, and stuff like that. So going forward, I do hope, like we mentioned before, Rayman Origins, I think it's a fantastic looking game, and I feel like it just doesn't get the press because it doesn't have that brown and gray first-person shooter. You're going for it.
It doesn't have a gun in it.
Yeah. As for innovation, I honestly don't think one genre innovates. If there is, I think it's going to be the emergence of a whole new genre we'll see next generation. I can also see, and I know some people aren't, the emergence of, like, with the Wii U and iPads and Androids and smartphones and stuff like that, the emergence of really touch-based games that kind of, reshape what we think of certain genres.
I don't like your future.
Well, I'm hoping that regarding the touch-based games, that we see more than just physics like puzzles and games that try to slap standard control schemes on a touchscreen. We see games that can fit to the touchscreen and fit them well, as well as just not being just dragging stuff around or us using overlaid joypads. Because those platforms tend to be easy for indies to break out on as well. That we're going to see a lot of that. Because Minecraft is a game that's coming out on the touch-based phones and is using a sort of a joystick-based control scheme, which doesn't really work. And we've got things like the Xperia Play, which is just a phone with the fucking PS3 controller strapped to it, which isn't really innovative at all. I just hope that somebody out there takes a touchscreen and makes it work for more than just physics-based puzzle games.
Oh, I was going to say is that you can actually, I can understand your beef with that, but it can actually work in a way that you take a type of game and you add those type of puzzles to the experience and you make it something different. Like if you had a Zelda game where you had to build you had a puzzle where you had to use the physics engine with touch screen to build a certain type of construct in the room to help you further advance, where you kind of take that simple idea, you implant it into a more quote-unquote hardcore game, and then you have a whole new experience with the implanting touch-based controls into this old experience and making it something new and more more
enriching,
rooted.
Rewarding.
Yeah, there we go. Final question, so we can let Chad go. This comes from Kevin Ketchum, and yes, that's his last name. No idea if he's related to Ash, but why are developers getting more and more coy about review embargoes? Why hold reviews to the last day?
This is easy, right? The example I'm going to use for this is Duke Nukem Forever, which is here what I think they've done, right? So Duke Nukem Forever, they made a deal about it coming out in Europe before the United States, right? Now, a lot of the gaming press is... well, that we pay attention to because we're Western, is based in the United States. We've got IGN and GameSpot and Destructoid and Joystick and all these people. And I think what they did is they kind of knew that Duke Nukem Forever wasn't going to be the best game ever. So they released it in Europe first to get the sales because people are going to buy it just because it's Duke Nukem. But if they see a review and see, what the hell have they done with my Duke Nukem? I'm not going to buy this game. You know, they're not going to get the sales. Well, at least they're not going to get as many as they hope for. So, I think it's just so they can get more day one purchases, because EA likes day one. Who doesn't like day one purchases? They get the most money out of it, and they can push all these harebrained schemes like online passes down our throat and day one DLC.
Okay. I mean, that's one answer, and I agree with you, especially, like, for example, most recently, X-Men Dynasty, Destiny. I don't know why I keep on calling it Dynasty. X-Men Destiny. Nobody got review copies, so everybody had to buy the game to review it.
Because not only do you have to have the people who review the game go out and buy the game, you also have to, you won't get people that are disappointed with the reviews. And they'll go out and buy the game and go, oh, this game's not as good as I thought it would be.
But I think
the publisher doesn't care because they get the money.
But I think part of the reason for the review embargoes is, I mean, it's as you mentioned, but I also think there's also a marketing idea behind it, is that one, you don't want to show favoritism towards any game in press unless you set up some type of arrangement with them, which is why you usually have like, the embargoes where it's just like, oh, it expires Sunday at midnight or something, so everybody can put up their review at
not
the same time.
Not anyone.
That does, from time to time it doesn't. The other thing I think is that it's the last marketing push, and I think that if you have reviews 2 or 3 weeks out, like it's, you know, if they're positive, it's good for you, but it's also kind of like in that 2 or 3 weeks, especially this time of year, you're out of mind, out of sight, out of mind type deal. Yeah. So you kind of want that thing where it's like, oh, it's like, you know, it's like the Sunday, Monday, and it's like, oh, we're going to be bombarded with reviews for this game, so this game must be, well, if, you know, if they're overwhelmingly positive. So I think that's kind of hand in hand. There are, you know, companies who kind of hold off on review copies because they know the game's going to suck, so they do kind of want to get. And it happens that way, I sense, games, because they realize that they can sell it to suckers up front, and then when the reviews come out, you know, it can kind of go either way. And, you know, there's also the notion that people, like, for example, the first Batman Arkham City review came out from OPM Australia, and it's 100%, and the thing is, a lot of people are like, oh, it's a good score. And then you have the other group of people who are like, but you know, it's an exclusive review that's out 3 weeks before the game. I don't know if I really trust it.
Yeah, but there was a lot of that with Deus Ex, because PC Gamer had the first review.
So and then you kind of, you know, it kind of sets the precedent where you're like, oh, this one establishment gave it 100. So anybody who gives it like an 80 is obviously just trying to get hits for their website or their magazines or free publicity. And I'm sure you've seen people like that before.
I'm not even going to mention their name.
So, yeah, I think that should do it for us. I mean, there's more questions, but we'll hold them over. I really want to let Jag go because he was supposed to be
we can get to them next week.
Yeah, my team needs their star running back.
So, for Daniel, Chad, and myself, this has been Dual Wielding episode 46.
Go get Frozen Synapse from humblebundle.com. Do it.
Also, suck a dick, internet.
Okay, 8 days.